Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Testament, the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5. And while you're turning there, here's a little humor for you just to maybe make you smile. The wedding ceremony came to the point where the minister asked if anyone had anything to say concerning the union of the bride and the groom. It was their time to talk and to speak up or forever hold their peace. The moment of silence was broken by a young, beautiful woman carrying a child. She stood up and she started walking slowly toward the pastor. The groom stared in disbelief at the approaching young woman and child, and chaos ensued. The bride threw the bouquet in the air and started bursting out in tears. The groom's mother fainted. The best men started looking at one another, thinking, man, how do we save this situation? The minister asked the woman, he said, can you tell us why you came forward? What do you have to say? And there was absolute silence in the church, and the woman replied, well, we can't hear in the back. Second Samuel chapter 5 and verse 17. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. Verse 20. So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, the Lord had broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And they left their images there, and David and his men carried them away. Then the Philistines went up once again and deployed themselves into the valley of Rephaim. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, and he said, you shall not go up, circle around behind them, and come up on them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And as David did so, as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. That's the text that I want to use this morning to talk to you about what's in my spirit. Now, I want to say something. Two things. Number one, I want to say this. That some things I'm going to talk about this morning, you don't necessarily have to agree with me. All I'm asking you to do is just simply don't walk out on me. Seriously. Just keep an open mind. Because I believe the Holy Ghost wants to talk to all of us today. Is that all right with you? Would you do that? Would you be willing to do that? Second thing I want to tell you is that I have the great privilege to baptize Zachary Bailey this morning after church. And I'm very excited about baptizing him. All of his family's here, and that's great. So let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. I just pray that everyone that's under the sound of my voice, Lord, would just be willing to listen to the word of the Lord this morning and to receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, when the Philistines heard that the people had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines began to search for David. And they were not searching for David to come and shake his hand and congratulate him. They were coming, they were looking, they were searching for David because they wanted to crush him. They wanted to annihilate him. I want you to notice something in our text. It says that when the Philistines had found out that David was anointed, then that's when they started seeking him out. Here's a side note. It's very important that the anointing did not only affect David, the anointing affected his enemies. Are you with me? I begin to just peer into this and look into this. So why did they get so upset that David was anointed? Why did this cause them to come together? All of them, it said, to come and try to crush David. I don't know that I can give you a definitive answer, but here's what I think. I think that the was anointed king. The scripture tells us when you study it that Saul, before he was anointed, was a shy man. Even though he was head and shoulders above everyone else, he was a timid man. He was a shy man. But you can read this in the scripture. After he was anointed, the Bible says that God gave him a new heart. And God raised him up as a mighty king. And Saul began to lead Israel. And they defeated the Philistines many, many times. So maybe perhaps when they heard that David was going to be anointed, they remembered what happened to them when Saul was anointed, and they wanted to crush David before he could ever get on the throne and ever solidify his position as king. So suffice it to say, the Philistines did not want an anointed man of God fighting against them. And can I say that in the 21st century, the same holds true for every one of us here this morning? Are you with me? The Bible says this in 1 Peter 5:8. This is what it says. You have an adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Look at your neighbor and say, you have an enemy. Tell him it's not me. It's not me. If you're looking at your husband or you're looking at your wife, they're not your enemy. Guess what? You have one enemy according to scripture, and that is the devil. Now, you may ask the question here this morning, Pastor, why am I being attacked like I'm being attacked? I'm going to give you the answer. Are you ready? I want to help you because you're anointed. You may not feel anointing. I know there's not a real big, robust spirit of worship here this morning. You may have come in tired. And you may not feel the anointing. You may not have spoken with tongues in weeks. But listen, that does not negate the Word of God. How do I know that you're anointed? Because here's what it says in 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which is in you, which you have received from him, abides in you. So if you are a born again believer, guess what? You're anointed. Where did you get it? You got it from the Spirit, and God gave it to you. And when you got the Spirit, God anointed you. You may not feel anointed this morning. You may not think you're anointed. But I'm telling you, the reason why you're being attacked is the same reason David was attacked, is because the enemy does not like an anointed child of God. Why did Satan come after Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us very plainly in Luke. It is Luke 4:18. Jesus gets up in the synagogue, and here's what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he hath anointed me. What is he anointing me to do? Jesus tells the folks, he's anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointing me to heal the broken and hearted. He's anointing me to set the captives free. He's anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor. He keeps on. He's anointed me to bring liberty to those who are oppressed and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why Satan hated Jesus, is because he was anointed to restore order back to the earth. Are you with me? So I'm here to just remind all of us, no matter what part you play in the body of Christ, whether you opened a door this morning or you're teaching a lesson or you're singing or your whatever you may be doing, if you're in the body of Christ, you are anointed, and God has placed his anointing on you when he filled you with his Spirit. And guess what? The enemy knows that. And he knows that there is a power that is upon you and in you that is greater than the power that he possesses. And it's when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed, that's when they start attacking. Here's a side note. Sometimes when you're being attacked, doesn't mean that you're being wrong. Doesn't mean that you're doing things wrong. Sometimes when you're attacked means you're doing something right. And the enemy wants to try to squash you before you get a stronghold. Is that making sense? See, the Bible says this, that the Philistines went and they deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Now, Rephaim means giants. So this is the valley of giants. What they were really trying to do was intimidate David. We're going to get you in this valley of giants. But David had in the back of his mind, I already killed one of your giants. So this is not going to intimidate me because I know I'm anointed. But check out what he does. This is very important. I want to try to help someone this morning. If you're facing an attack, what do I do? You follow after this pattern. Here's what David did. David did one thing. He inquired of the Lord. Sometimes when we're being under attack and we don't know what to do, we just start doing something. My daddy taught me this. He said, Wayne, when you don't know what to do, do nothing. When you have done all you know to do to stand, you just stand. And you go to God and say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to figure this out. I don't have the answer. So I'm going to just wait till you speak to me. Because if I do something in my flesh, it's going to be wrong. But if I wait to hear the voice of God, God's going to give you the answer. God's going to give you the plan. The number one thing you need to do if you're being attacked today is you need to inquire of the Lord. Don't tap in. It doesn't matter if you have 17 degrees. Don't tap into your mind. Your mind is limited. Even with all that knowledge, it's still limited. But the Spirit is unlimited. The Spirit knows things that your mind can never know because it's infinite. When you tap into the Spirit, God always has a plan. I want to encourage somebody this morning. You get in your closet of prayer and you say, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to defeat this enemy. And when you do that, you can inquire of the Lord. And the Bible says David inquired of the Lord. He said, should I go up against the enemies? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord said, go up, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. And then the Bible says, talks about that David defeated them. Now, that's important. But get to verse 22. In verse 22, the Bible says that the Philistines came and they came again. They came back again. Here's something that's important. Just because you defeat the enemy once doesn't mean he's going to leave you forever. Just because you have victory today doesn't mean you're going to have victory next week. Can I get a witness? The enemy will come back to you again. Why did they come back to David again? They didn't get him the first time. They were hoping they were going to get him the second time. And if the enemy don't get you this week, he's hoping to get you next week. That's not to make you scared. It's just to make you aware that without him, you and I can do nothing. And the enemy's after you to defeat you. Why? Because you're a threat against his kingdom. So notice what he did. He prayed the first time, but he didn't just say, okay, I prayed once. That's good enough. I got the plan. Read your scriptures. The Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. He went back and he prayed again. And he said, Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? And God said, this time, no, don't go up. Don't do it. Let me just share something with you. You do not see where Jesus used the same miracle twice. There were 34 miracles in the New Testament. Never did he do the same miracle twice. Just because this works this way today doesn't mean it's going to work this way tomorrow. Your God is not, he is not a monument. He is a movement. And just because, listen, back when I was younger, I was leading service for my father. And we would sing a song and that song would be anointed and the power of God would come among the people. And I thought, man, that was good for that night. Let's try it on Wednesday night. Let's resurrect the dead on Wednesday night. Well, that song worked Sunday and people were moving in groups. You sing that same song and people just look at you on Wednesday night. Just look at you like they never heard that song before. Sunday night, they was shimmying and a shaking. They were doing the Michael Jackson, you know, Sunday night. But Wednesday night, they're looking at you like you lost your mind. What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. Just because God anointed that song for Sunday night doesn't mean that he anoints it for Wednesday night. That's why you always got to be led of the Spirit. Just because God was here today doesn't mean he's going to be there tomorrow. Where are you at? Am I helping anybody? So David inquired of the Lord again, and God said, look, don't go up this way. Don't do that. This time, here's what I want you to do. Circle around behind them and come up in front of the mulberry trees. Now, here's verse 24. And it shall be when you hear the sound, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. In the King James Version, it says, bestir thyself. In other words, stir yourself up, get yourself up, and be ready to move quickly. For the Lord your God will strike the camp of the Philistines before you. Now, apparently, a wind. When I studied this out, many commentators said it was a wind or it was a sound of marching that went through the tops of the trees. What was that marching? I can't prove this, but here's what I believe. I believe it was the marching of angels in the tops of the trees as a sign to David. David, here is the angelic host, an army of angelic hosts, that they are dancing in the tops of the trees. And when you hear that, you know that that's your sign to get yourself up because they're going to go before you to strike the enemy's camp. Whew. Now that's powerful to me. But notice this. Here's what you got to notice. Notice this. The first time that David inquired of the Lord, God said, go up. But the second time he said, don't go up. Here's what that tells me. You got to always make sure you're praying. Because what worked yesterday may not work today. You got to listen for the voice of God. Listen, get this. Because God is never without a plan. I want you to look at three people because you seem mighty quiet today. Look at three people and tell them God is never without a plan. You may be confused this morning. You may not know why you're being attacked. You may not understand what's going on. But trust me, your heavenly Father is never without a plan. And if you're willing to inquire of the Lord and just after you're done talking, listen. Listen, God will speak to you. I've had the Lord tell me things and you do it and it's always going to work because God always has a plan. Why? Because God is never confused and God will go before you. It doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, how big your enemy may seem. It's nothing for the Lord. It doesn't matter how big Goliath may appear to you today. God can put that stone on a laser and cause it to go right into that giant's head if you'll follow the plan of God. God wants you to defeat your enemies 100% of the time, and he always has a plan. Here's what the Bible says in James 2 and 19. It says, you believe there's one God. You do well. Even the devils believe and tremble. The demons know that God has power. And the devil knows the potential that is in a born again Christian. Even if some of you don't realize the potential you have and you don't realize why you're being attacked, the devil knows there's one God and trembles. He knows that that spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you, even if you don't realize your own potential. And that's why he's attacking you, because if you ever realize who you are, you're not going to take some of the stuff that you're taking. That's why you're being attacked this morning, is because you're anointed. Shout, I'm anointed. I can tell y'all don't feel too anointed this morning. It doesn't matter how you feel. The scripture says that when he anointed you, when he filled you with his spirit. And see, you got to understand that God has a plan for you when you go out to fight your battles. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. And God said, David, you're about to take your enemy by surprise and defeat them, but you're not going to go out like before. When you hear the sound of the moving in the midst and in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you don't move. Now check this out. You don't move until you hear something above you. You're waiting on a sound. Notice, you're not waiting on the enemy and what he's going to do. A lot of people go around, I wonder what the devil's going to do next. Don't worry about what kind of enemy. Don't worry about what kind of weapon the enemy has. Why don't I need to worry? Because the Bible says this, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You don't need to worry about what kind of, well, I wonder what the enemy's going to do next. Don't you worry about what the enemy is going to do next. God always got a plan. Are you with me? And what you're waiting on is you're waiting on the wind. You're waiting on the sound of marching angels, which means whatever is in heaven is coming down to earth. And there's an invasion of heavenly warriors that are coming from heaven down to earth. And they're going to hit the earthly battlefield, and they're going to come through the tops of the trees. And when you hear the angelic armies coming through the tops of the trees, you're going to stir yourself and you're going to move out with the wind. I want to tell you a true story. You can look this up. It's a historical fact. The United States was being attacked by Japan at Pearl Harbor. And because of that devastating defeat at Pearl Harbor, the Japanese held the upper hand in the Pacific Rim. Everything the U.S. Armed Forces tried to do, somehow the Japanese knew what they were doing almost even before they did it. And at that particular point in the war, the Japanese were destroying us. And the U.S. armed forces could not figure out how the enemy were intercepting our messages and how they would know exactly what our battle plan was going to be. Finally, they realized that many of the Japanese had come to the United States of America, to our schools, to be educated, and that they knew English and they knew how to speak our language. And because they knew how to speak our language, they were able to easily decode the messages that were sent by radio through the troops. That is until February of 1942. A man by the name of William Johnston, he was a civil engineer. He was a World War I vet. He had an idea, and he went to a general friend of his with this idea. His idea was, what if America could come up with a secret code that the Japanese cannot understand? What if they had a language that was so rare and so unique that the enemy could not decode it? They called a special gathering of these generals to meet Mr. Williams Johnson and to hear his plan. And his plan was, he said, generals, I can take 27 men from the Navajo reservation who only speak Navajo. This language has never been taught in any schools. No one knows this language outside of the Navajo Indians on the reservation. And the way he was able to know this is because he was a missionary's kid that was raised on the Navajo reservation, and he spoke that language. He said, let me take these 27 men and let's use the Navajo language. And that's exactly what they did. They gave these 27 Navajo men walkie-talkies, and the way we defeated the Japanese and the way the battle started turning was that these men started speaking in a language that only they knew. So they would give direction back and forth, and the enemy would try to decode it, but the Japanese couldn't understand it because they had never heard it before and they had never taught this language, so the enemy could not break the code. And these men were known as wind talkers. Wind talkers. Hell was winning the battle, ladies and gentlemen. Demonic forces and Satan had the earth in bondage. But Jesus died and rose again, and he said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. But if you go to Jerusalem and you tarry in the upper room, I'm going to send my power, and I'm going to send my spirit, and I'm going to give you a language, and I'm going to give you an anointing, and I'm going to give you a power, and it's going to defeat the enemy in your life. Now go with me very quickly to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, suddenly they were in one accord in one place. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Could it be, as I studied in these commentaries, that same wind that was the rustling in the mulberry trees that said, I'm going to give you a plan to defeat the enemy. Give me some leeway here. Could that be the same wind that came in to that upper room and said, I'm going to give you a language that's going to bypass. The enemy can't understand it. People can't understand it. But I can. And it's going to give you the victory over the devil. Somebody give God some praise. Here's where I'm asking all of this audience to stay with me. Here it is. It's the moving. This wind is moving in the upper room. Where the wind moved in the Old Testament in the mulberry trees. It moved up in the trees. And then the wind started moving as a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the place where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. You know what they became? They became wind talkers. And they began to speak as the Spirit gave them the utterance, because it was the Spirit that came upon them, and they opened their mouth and they began to speak a language that the enemy could not understand and Satan could not decode it. A language that was given by the Holy Spirit that defeats the power of Satan and sin and bondage. Hell cannot understand the prayer of the Holy Ghost. Y'all stay with me. The Holy Ghost gives it. Listen, the Holy Ghost gives it. It's not a bunch of gibberish. It's not a bunch of gooey woo. It's not mystical, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a bunch of jabber. It's not a bunch of, you know, who knows what that is for these crazy fanatic Pentecostals. This is the power of the Holy Spirit praying through you in a language that you cannot decode, cannot stop, and cannot resist it. You say, Pastor, I've been coming and I like your messages. I like you. I like your messages. But now you're getting off into some stuff. That's a little bit too far. Well, let's just see about this. Just stay with me is all I'm asking. Stay with me. Here's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Here's what it says. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. The way that we were able to beat the Japanese is because they started speaking in a language that those guys couldn't decode. And the power of the Holy Ghost is not gibberish. The power of the Holy Ghost is a language that God gives you that bypasses man and his carnality. Satan cannot decode it. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm praying directly unto God. Are y'all with me? The Apostle Paul just said, you get a secret language that nobody understands. You're not talking to God when you get it. You're talking directly to God. You're not talking to people, forgive me. You're talking directly to God. And then notice what he says in verse 18. The great apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he said this in verse 18. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And check this out. He wasn't in the upper room. There's a doctrine that teaches that the Holy Ghost was for people. It was for the apostles. But after the apostles, it stopped. Notice it doesn't say the gift of the apostles, because the apostles died. It said the gifts of the Spirit. And a spirit never dies. Do you understand that the very angels do not die? You get that, right? The very angel that bust Peter, Paul, and Silas out of prison is the same angel that's here still. He's still alive. Right? So a spirit never dies. So yes, the apostles died, but it didn't say the gifts of the apostles. It said the gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit didn't die with the apostles. They're still alive today. This is why Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was a type and the shadow of the Old Testament. What he revealed in the New Testament. Are you with me now? So this is Paul. He's not in the upper room. This is years after the upper room. Years after it. And Paul is saying, I am thankful that I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, the great apostle Paul says, I pray in tongues more than you all. And then he gives some guidelines. He says, yet when I go to church. Okay. And you don't hear this a lot in Pentecostal churches, but I'm going to preach it because it's in the Bible. He says, when I go to church, he says, I don't speak with tongues when I go to church. He said, because people come in, they think you're mad. They can't understand that. He said, so what I do is I take this wonderful word of God and I expound the wonderful word of God in a language that they can understand. Why? Because he had already prayed in tongues before he ever got to church. Then when he got to church, he spoke in a language that people could understand. Amen. And this is why it ends. It says, do everything decently and in order. We believe in that. We want decently and in order. But listen to me. If he is saying, I get up and I just start talking in tongues and nobody understands it, then it's not profiting anyone. Okay? This is for you and for God. It's to build up. One writer says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Yeah. Why I pray in the Holy Ghost? Because there's things that I don't know that only God knows. And I need answers on how to defeat my enemy. And he's got the plan. And the enemy can't hear this language. He can't decipher this code. And God speaks something into my spirit and says, this is how you do it. And then we do it that way and we defeat the enemy. This is more than gibberish, ladies and gentlemen. This is the power of the Holy Ghost that God gives you as a weapon to defeat the enemy. Are you with me? Say, Pastor, I still don't know about that. Well, stay with Paul, because in this particular passage of Scripture, Paul, in verse 21, he pulls from the Old Testament now. He quotes Isaiah. This is what he says. Isaiah, he's quoting. He says, and in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet for all of that, they will not hear me. And then he says, therefore, tongues are not a sign to those who believe, but to the unbeliever. But look at what it says in verse 39. Go to 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Check this out. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. The modern day church has thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And they've thrown tongues totally out because they didn't understand it, because it was misused, and because somebody maybe didn't do it the way they should have done it. But when God clearly said through the Apostle Paul, do not forbid this blessing. Why? Because it's a coded language the enemy cannot decode. Can I keep preaching? Acts 19. Paul comes up on 10 disciples of John the Baptist. And he looks at them. It's Acts 19. He looks at them and he says, hey, guys, how are y'all doing? We're doing great. He asked them this question. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they looked at him and they said, we never even heard of this Holy Spirit. He said, well, how was you baptized? And they said, well, into John's baptism and to the baptism of repentance. Okay. So they had repented. And they were baptized unto the baptism of repentance. They were operating, ladies and gentlemen, you can disagree with me. I'm fine with you disagreeing with me. They were operating in everything they knew. They were operating in everything they knew. Then Paul comes and says, okay, that's awesome. He says, have you received the Holy Spirit now since you believed? They said, well, we didn't even know there was such a thing. You continue to read, and the Bible says, and Paul laid hands upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And King James Version said, and they heard them speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. So in other words, man, that's awesome that you baptized under John's baptism. That's awesome you baptized under repentance. But Paul was saying, look, there's some more for you if you want it. Because John was preaching a message of repentance, but he said, there's somebody that's coming after me whose shoe latches I'm not even worthy to unloose. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Why? Because God wants you to have that fire so that you are a constant threat to the enemy. He wants you. Why does God give the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It's not so you can have gibberish. The power of the Holy Ghost is to give you power over sin, power over Satan, power over demons, power over sickness, over disease, and to help you to live an overcoming life. This is the same anointing that Jesus was talking about in Luke chapter 4. He said, I am anointed. When you look at the anointing, the types of it are spirit. It is a type of the Spirit. David right here was anointed. What was he? He had the Spirit upon him. Now you and I have the great privilege to have the Spirit in us. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, it made him the first superhero. And he took the jawbone of an ass and he destroyed 1,000 Philistines. Without that Spirit, he was just Samson. But when that Spirit came upon him, he became a mighty warrior that destroyed the enemy. Does that make sense? When you have the Spirit of God, you are more than just a carnal person. Now you're starting to walk in the Spirit. And the enemy does not have dominion over you. Sin does not have dominion over you. You can walk as an overcomer. Why? Because you have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Does that make sense? Okay. You say, Pastor. Okay, here's where you may disagree with me. You say, Pastor, do I have to have the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues? Okay, I think that's the wrong question. I really do. I think it's the wrong question. The Holy Ghost is a gift. How many of you would turn down a $1,000 gift card if I gave it to you this morning? No one would turn down. If I was giving out $1,000 gift cards from Visa, nobody would turn it down. Why? Because it's a gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost, why would you not want it? It gives you that same power that Christ had upon the earth to carry out his mission. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When Paul laid hands upon the believers of John, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How do you know that? Because the Bible says they heard them speak with tongues. Does that make sense? All right. Have I lost you? Okay. Now, I believe this, and I'm closing. I believe the only reason why the battle was won in 2 Samuel chapter 5 is because of the wind. And when they heard the sound of the wind, they went with the wind. Acts 2:2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Anybody want to hear the sound of the wind this morning? I know it's quiet in here, but maybe you're listening and I appreciate that. Anybody believe the power of the Holy Ghost is still relevant for this generation? You need to hear it. And I want to challenge everyone in this house this morning. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to open your mouth this morning and to be filled with the power of the Spirit. Every one of us need to be wind talkers. Every one of us need to be wind talkers. Why? Because then that gives us a secret language that the devil cannot decode. And there's some battles, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that you cannot win until you become a wind talker. And you let the Spirit of the Lord pray through you. And the Spirit tells us in Acts 2 that it's for you and it's for your children. And that it's for those who are far off, as many as call on the name of the Lord. It's for them. Here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to stand to your feet. And I want you, in just a minute, I want you to lift your hands. and all over this building, everybody in this house, I want you to open up your mouth, and I don't want you to pray silently in your mind. I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to praise God, and I want you to listen for that sound. You don't have to come to the front. The Bible says that it fell.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.